So what was it like when you first joined Tier 1 and like in comparison to the way things turned out over there?
So the first time, when Tier 1 was putting the show together, I saw some of the people they were bringing in, and around that time my career was really trying to, I wanted to start breaking out, and I wanted to be one of those guys that were, one of those guys that were out on the scene, and the people were would I wanted to be one of those people that would get put on the poster and get reached out, to be on people's debut shows. And I was vocal, I think, the degree about getting onto Tier One. And I had some people put in word for me, and at the time the show was still very, very much in its infancy, but I think it was largely booked. To his credit, Dennis did put me on the show, and at the time I think it was supposed to be an issue where he was going to get Darius Carter to come on, but Carter didn't respond in time. So I kind of got the spot that was going to be given to Carter, even though Carter ended up being on the first show as well. But, like I said, to his credit, Dennis still put me on the show, and I did a promo that night, and I started a program with Bonesaw Jesse Brooks. And from there, we had a couple matches. And from there, while I was feuding with Jesse, he, again, I'll give Dennis credit for this because he actually got me a lot of opportunities. He got me on the Evolve pre-show, which was huge. He would get me booked on other shows that were running in the area, whether it was like a last minute thing or like they wanted to have like a Tier One pre-show on a show or something like that. I was one of the people that Dennis was, reaching out to. He got me booked out in Ohio. He gave me a lot of opportunities, and he, definitely believed in me. Unfortunately, down the line, I think he had lost the confidence in me or something. I mean, there was a bunch of stuff that went down around the time that led me to kind of disappearing. And I can get into like my last days in Tier 1 before I got brought back, which kind of bring everything, brings everything full circle.
Sure.
So, as you know, so at one day, after I finished shooting with Jessie, she had left the company, and around that time, some of my friends were cutting ties with Tier One for different reasons, which I think I should have been keeping a closer eye on at the time. All right, so
What were some of those reasons?
there was people that, there's just people like, I know Jessie and her partner had left, and then there was other friends of mine too that were in the company. Obviously, Joey Ace got cut out, and just people. There's starting to see a pattern there.
Yeah.
Still, Dennis was, he believed in me and everything. And I remember one day I had a match. I was in there with, like, they were like backyard level guys. This wasn't for another company. It was a random show, and Dennis was at the show. And I remember I was frustrated, and I just go up to Dennis, and I was talking. And we were just talking. And I told him, I need to get better. I want to, and the only way for me to get better is to be in there with people that are way better than me, because that's going to push me and, test me and see, how, if, where I belong on the totem pole. And again, to Dennis's credit, he listened to me, and instantly that night messaged me, I like what you're saying. I'm going to get you a big match for the next Tier 1 show. He gets me booked against David Starr, and unfortunately, David had an injury the night before, and he had a TNA tryout that week, so he couldn't wrestle that night. So I wrestled the replacement, last minute thing, and the match was fine. But it wouldn't obviously would not have been the same as it would have been with David Starr, and I still managed to do a spot in that night that got huge reaction. Went viral. People were talking about it. Had a lot of focus. I got a huge reaction when I came out, and I'm thinking, all right, well, I made the most of this. I definitely got a huge reaction. Hopefully, pays attention to this.
Yeah.
So we're gonna try it again the next month. This time, I'm gonna wrestle Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle unfortunately had scheduling issues. There was a scheduling conflict last minute. Pulled out, I think, like the day or two before the show. And then I had to wrestle Sebastian Cage, and again, I was pretty happy with the match. I did another spot that evening where, you know, I get a huge reaction. I got a standing ovation for my entrance. You know, I got praised from Damon Sandow. And again, I'm thinking, all right, this is good. I made the most of this match, and I got a huge reaction. And to me, that always should go a long way.
Sure.
Right after the match, Michael, I got jumped by Federated. Mike Orlando comes out, and it looks like he's going to save me. It's a swerve. He beats me up. He joins Federated. And I was told next show it's going to be you versus Orlando. And I was like, awesome, great. You know, me and Orlando were, you know, that's match I was looking forward to. We had a story there. And the guy's a fantastic athlete and a great competitor. And, you know, I was looking forward to that match. And I thought it was going to elevate both of us at Tier 1.
Mm-hmm.
So a few months go by, I think Dennis doesn't run a show. I don't think he could find the building for the... for the winter shows, so waiting, and all of a sudden I start seeing him post online. He announces the date for the show. Now, this isn't too strange because he would usually go about he would never tell people usually. Like, he's pretty bad at communicating with people about like when the next show is or if you were booked on it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching people get announced for the show. And as I'm watching it, I'm quickly realize I don't think he's using me. And that's when I get a message around that time from Joe. And Joe was telling me just, you know, in regular conversation, like, oh, yeah, I got told by a certain promoter that he's not going to use you anymore. He says you're no good. He said, you know, you're a comedy act or whatever. And I'm like, wait, what? And I, you know, realized he was talking about Dennis. So I basically realized Dennis was done using me through someone else. And that was like the story of like, he would never tell you straight up that he would, you know, not, that he wasn't going to use you or what was going on. Instead, he would tell other people, I guess, hope that would get back to them. Which was like very shady behavior. And
sure.
It's kind of like, that's, you know, it's not the way to go about things, but at the same time, you know, it's whatever. I got it. He wasn't a fan of my in-ring style, despite the fact that I was one of the guys that got the biggest reactions on his shows each time. You know, I got it. He wasn't a fan of my in-ring style, and he wasn't going to use me anymore. It was kind of crappy that he didn't tell me straight up, but what can you do? And then that kind of led to me coming back to Tier 1 when I saw him at Battle Club. And, you know, I was kind of, like, frustrated at this point because Dennis is doing a lot of... Hold on, I'm just going to wait for the... I got the open ring. I was waiting for the announcement to finish.
No problem.
All right. So, yeah, no, so that kind of led me to coming back to Tier 1 because at that point I was extremely frustrated because Dennis would always run to Uncle Joe and tell him I'm no good and, you know, he would try to tell Joe how to use me or how not to use me, rather, because... he just, at that point, he just had something against me.
And that's your home gym, too, so, I mean, that's big.
Yeah, and that's when it got to me, because it was like, now he was trying to, like, it was one thing that he was using me, then he was, like, trying to hurt my standing in other companies that he had no hand in at all.
Yeah.
So, to me, that was like, all right, now this guy is starting to step over the line. So, I see him at Battle Club, and right before my match, I went up to Dennis, and I was just like, I just cut a promo on him. I was like, you don't know shit. You're clueless. How dare you say I'm no good? Are you kidding me? And, you know, I'm just going off and throwing all of this in his face in the middle of the locker room. And Dennis actually was like, that night, we ended up talking that night, and then he messaged me later that night, and he was like, you know what? I really respect what you did. It showed me that you're not a keyboard warrior, and I saw your passion. I'm thinking about using you again, which was funny because he said in the thing where he was like, oh, I heard you had a good match with Simon Gotch. But he was already thinking about using me right after I'd cut that promo. Then I had the match with Simon Gotch, and that's when he was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I think I want to bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls me up and he tells me, you know, hey, I want to bring you back. You're going to be one of our top baby faces. And you're going to come out. You're going to cut a promo. You're going to do a quick match. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be great. I'm like, awesome. This sounds great. I'm actually really excited. And, you know, the big reason for me going back to Tier 1 was because I had a chip on my shoulder and I had something to prove. And I kind of felt like, you know, I was trying to gain momentum with the Brooklyn audience. And I didn't want to lose that momentum. And the more chances I get to perform in front of them, the better it's going to do for me. Because those are vocal fans. Those are fans that go online and they post the shows and they make guests. And, that's how they help you get your name out there. And that's invaluable to be able to perform in front of those fans as much as you can. There's no disservice in that, So. Yeah. So yeah, I was all about like coming back and doing this, and then as we're getting closer to the return, Dennis gives me a call and he says, "Hey, so we're gonna change things up. We're gonna do this match. We're gonna wrestle this guy McDrake, and we're gonna do this." And at that point, I was already starting to get worried, just because I always try to work towards to what the card is, and not always just for myself, because I think you need to be mindful of the fact where it's like, if you're on a show with a guy like a Flip Gordon or Ricochet and you're a high flyer, you might not want to do what they do, because they're going to do what they do better than you'll ever be able to. What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always mindful to that, of where my role is on the card. And when he had me booked against David Starr, he was expecting this great match, as was I. But then when I get changed to wrestle a guy that was new to the territory and I just met for the first time, we're not going to have that same match.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing when I was going to wrestle Matt Riddle, that got canceled, and I had to wrestle Sebastian Cage. It becomes a different match than I guess what Dennis was expecting. So knowing that history, as soon as he's telling me this stuff, I'm starting to get very cautious. But again, I'm whatever, he's bringing me back, let's do it. But what was worrying me was he started to talk about doing a thing with Federated again. And that's when I'm like, all right, this is kind of weird, whatever. So I showed up to the show that he said I arrived at 6:30 for, which was not true. I was a little bit late coming from a job interview, but the funny part in all that, not only did I get there, it helped them to set up the show. The show didn't start for another hour and a half. It was ran an hour and a half late for no reason whatsoever. And I just, like, coming from Warriors Wrestling, Joe will never, we've had no shows, we've had cancellations, we've had to change the card around the last minute. Every single show I've ever been at Warriors Wrestling, no matter what sort of catastrophe is happening beforehand, the show always starts at 8 o'clock on the dot. So to me, him not starting the show an hour after bell time was inexcusable. He was leaving the fans outside. He was in, so already, that's already not looking good. And that's always been a history of Tier 1, where either running the show late or having to cut intermission or always like stackpiling stuff on the show that shouldn't be there. Just weird stuff like that. That always like, it just always irked me, because just at the end of the day, it's just bad business. So I get there and he tells me what's going on. The entire time that we're putting this whole thing together, putting everything together, not once does he tell me that I'm going to lose. He tells me that the match is going to end with I'm about to win, and then Federated comes out, and then they jump me, they beat me up. And then that was what bothered me more than anything else, was the fact that he was basically telling me he wanted to rehash a storyline that we had just done, same exact storyline, pretty much spot for spot, that we did the year prior. And not only that, but that was the last time I was ever seen in the company. So now I'm thinking, I think I just got brought in basically to put these guys over, and I'm pretty much being set up here,
Wow.
That took me out. That completely took me off my game mentally, because it wasn't at all what I was expecting. I was pretty much lied to by him. And not only that, but now I'm pretty sure he's going to screw me over here. So I was actually thrown off, completely discombobulated from it. And still, we were putting the match together and we're going through every single detail, but not once did we talk about, like, all right, at the end they're going to get pinned and then they're going to beat you up. I always thought Federer's going to come out, they're going to jump you. So him going around telling this narrative and this, you know, telling people that I didn't want to lose and I had an issue losing, it's insulting to me. And it's, you know, it's complete nonsense because, like, I've lost to little people, I've lost to women, I've lost to all sorts of people. It's never been an issue for me, and it never will be an issue for me.
So when did you find out, like, what the finish of the match was going to be?
Well, pretty much when we talked about it, it was always told to me that it was just going to be a run. It was going to be a big schmoz. Like, I was going to get jumped by Federated, and then Nick was going to look like he was going to save me, and then he was going to join Federated. And that was always, like, what was in my head of what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what actually happened?
I messed up. What's that?
So what actually ended up happening?
So, all right, so at that point, they started coming out. I'm beyond, like, out of my element here. I'm frustrated. I feel like I'm getting set up here. So I get hit with mixed finish, and to... I'll admit that I was in the wrong for what I did at this point. I took mixed finish. I did like this Terry Funk cell out to the outside, and I was expecting Federated to swarm on me, jump me, throw me back to the ring, and then finish the angle. I took the finish, and then Mick comes out, grabs me, stomps me, throws me back in, and then he covers me and hasn't been covered. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I didn't know this was happening. And then I took the pin and then rolled out, and then they celebrated. So then that's pretty much what happened. And then I remember walking in the back, and I just looked at Dennis like, what the hell was that? And I was just, yeah. And then I remember him saying that, like, I took all my stuff and I changed to the side of the room, whatever, he said he likes to say that I grabbed my bag and changed to the side of the building.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The locker room was pissed and all this. So I go upstairs. I change upstairs in the locker room. And actually, which is funny, too, because he's talking about the whole Tom Lawler thing, about how, like, he had to talk with Tom about it after the show. I actually talked to Tom after the match. And we were both talking about Kane, because that's both, you know, those both of our favorite wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no idea what the hell, like, happened. He was getting ready for his match. He was not, you know, he's not at all clued into that. Nobody in the locker room was really... saying anything. Mick and the rest of Federated were in another room cutting a promo, I'm pretty sure. So I changed, and then I grabbed the rest of my stuff and I packed it, you know, downstairs off to the side, and pretty much left at that right afterwards, because at that point I just wanted to get the hell out of there. I did not want anything to do with Tier 1 at that point. And then I tried talking to Dennis that night about what, you know, kind of what had happened, and really, at the crux of it was a miscommunication issue on both our ends, because we weren't sure what's going on. And if you've ever been to, like, backstage at a Tier 1 show, that's pretty much the environment of the show. You never know what's going on. You don't know when the show's going to start. You don't know when your match is sometimes, because the card will get changed around last minute. You know, and he doesn't give any sort of creative direction or anything. It's, and then again, I go back to those matches I had with Sebastian Cage and Curt Stallion that he didn't like. Well, to his credit, he didn't give me any sort of creative direction for it or what he wanted to see out of those matches. He just expected me to go out there and produce something that hopefully he would like. Instead, what I did was try to produce something that the people would like and remember, and try to create moments that they would, you know, that they would remember and react to, which is always been my main goal when it comes out to perform. And the same thing happened that night. I went out there, I had my entrance, I had my promo, and, you know, got one of the biggest reactions of that whole night so far. But yeah, I left right after my match, and I mean, the show, it didn't end until like 12 o'clock midnight or something like that.